You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And I'm Vince Heath.
No, that's not right.
And this is the Watchathon Arassalon.
For now.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 10th season of Doctor Who, Frontier in Space!
In space?
Yep, that's where it is. I'm pretty sure. For the most part. Actually, I think it takes place on a lot of different planets. Anyway,
those planets are in space.
Everything's
in space.
Everything's
right
in space.
Now.
So this whole thing could be set on Earth and it would still be in space?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everything is a thing in space. We've established this.
Everything that happens, happens there. This serial consists of 6 episodes that aired from February 24th, 1973 to March 31st,
1973. True facts!
Thank you for getting us this serial. Matt Golden of mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr.
Thanks, Matt.
If you would like to sponsor an episode of the podcast, you too can purchase a DVD for us on our Amazon wish list, which you can get to by going to watchyourassalon.com/support. And there's a link there. So do that and you'll be cool. Like all of your friends. Speaking of our friends, we have a special guest today. Vincent E.L. is here, you guys.
Hi.
Vincent E.L. Heath, who we've officially adopted.
I made the theme song for this podcast.
It's true, you did. What else? You've also done the theme song for Atop the Fourth Wall.
That's true.
The theme song for the Projections Project.
That is also true. I've also done the theme song for, sort of theme song for Weird Video Games.
You did the title track from the short film Better Off Inside.
That is true also. And I did a puppet video for the Dr. Horrible DVD because there was a contest. And I've probably made other theme songs that I forgot. Oh, yeah, I did another podcast theme song for The Reasons I'm Broke. So that's a thing that exists also.
Are we ready to talk about Doctor Who? Is there anything else we need to get out of the way before we talk about Doctor Who?
Yeah, I have some issues with all of you, actually.
Okay.
Bring it.
What are your issues?
I don't really. I couldn't even think of anything for a joke.
Really?
But I'm not on top of my game today.
So it's going to be a good podcast.
I'm not on top of anyone's game on any day. So everything's going to work out just fine, I think.
As long as we're at the same, all at the same mediocre level.
Ah, here's to a mediocre podcast.
I am always on the same mediocre level. That's my guarantee and motto.
That's my home. That's where I live. Just like, I'm clearly going to be carrying this podcast again.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Is anything on in the kitchen?
No.
Okay, good.
We haven't been home long enough.
Yeah, we just got back from
there
the
There might be something on in the Airbnb we just left, but that's their problem now.
Oh, yeah, you guys just did the runaway from your responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yep, Mark 3. We went to Milwaukee with previous podcast guests, Chris Cherry and Jez.
Just Jez. And we saw a bunch of dead things. It was a good time.
We literally saw a dead body.
We did.
What?
And that's all we'll say about that.
That's all you'll say about it?
Any more information would be too much.
Okay. I shan't pry then.
I'll tell because I like telling stories.
I like creating mysteries, so.
We're walking down the street and there was like a, was it a hearse, I guess?
It was a hearse.
And they were loading a body into the back of it. Like, it wasn't like a hearse. It was like something that takes something to, I don't know, it was a body bag. It wasn't like a coffin or anything.
Well, you know, first you have the hearse and then you have the rehearse.
God damn it.
But we also went to the Public Museum in Milwaukee, which is terrifying. There's a lot of dioramas and displays and stuff, but it's, like, brutal.
I almost thought you were going to say there's lots of diarrhea.
Yes, a lot of diarrhea.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, halfway through that word, I was like, this isn't going to take a turn.
It's a real shitty museum. No, that's a good museum. It's just, like, all of the displays were, like...
You know how there's always a display of the dinosaurs, and it's usually, like, the T-Rex attacking, like... another dinosaur. It's always a Triceratops, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always a Triceratops. A T-Rex and a Triceratops. In every museum.
Never a Stegosaurus?
Maybe sometimes a Stegosaurus. I'm really basing it off of, like, the two museums I've ever seen. But they both have T-Rex eating a Triceratops. The one that I had seen previously, it was like, it's like a little animatronic dealy.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the Triceratops is trying to get away. And this one, the Triceratops is dead and its guts are hanging out from, like, a hole where the T-Rex is actively eating it. And there was a lot of stuff in the museum like that.
It's just brutal.
Like, I didn't need to see Triceratops intestines, but yeah. I did.
Enjoy the sights of Milwaukee. We went to another place, Lounge 42, and lost at Kevin Smith trivia.
We did. But we didn't lose by much. Everyone lost by the same amount.
How is that possible?
Well, there was Kevin Smith questions and also general
knowledge, and as previously established on this podcast, we don't have a lot of that.
There was one is like, how many movies are in the View Askew universe?
And you got it wrong.
I got it wrong. I forgot one.
Which one? The groovy cartoon movie?
Yes, I forgot the fucking groovy cartoon movie.
But isn't that movie set in a sub universe of the fictional Blunt Man and Chronic universe?
I don't know.
You should call.
I've not actually seen the movie.
You should call up the pub and dispute it.
Because in the View Askew universe, the Blunt Man and Chronic universe is fiction.
Yeah. Well, I guess it exists as a movie within that universe.
Well, yeah, it exists as a comic within that universe, and as a movie.
But it's probably a movie within that universe, just within a subset of that universe. So it still counts as being inside that universe.
Well, it doesn't take place in that universe. It just exists in it. It's like how Kill Bill may or may not exist within the Pulp Fiction universe, but it doesn't take place in it.
Call him up, tell him we won.
Anyway, Milwaukee was fun.
Doctor Who.
Yeah, let's talk about Doctor Who. Let's get into Frontier in Space.
Oh yeah, it's a serial. I watched it and I've taken very few notes and I've probably forgotten most of it. So my role here is to be reminded of everything that happened in it.
That's great.
I can sum it up for you.
It's fun doing the podcast when you're just along for the ride. That's...
It's 90% the Doctor and Joe in a sail.
I will say I love this serial, and I have titles for 3 of the episodes.
I have titles for all of them. None of them are good. Do you have a thought?
I'm just reiterating that they do spend so much of this episode in a cell. And not like the same cell, like it's a bottle episode.
They get moved around from cell to cell. Yeah, it happens a lot. And yet, even though they get moved from cell to cell throughout the serial, this serial is great.
It is better than it has any right to be, for sure.
Usually, if it's like, oh, they spend a lot of time in a cell, and it's like, that's usually a bad thing. But in this serial, it's like, no, that doesn't detract from it at all. This is a great serial where they spent a lot of it locked in various cells. Got more cells than the human body.
But there's more Beatles! That's a reference to this weekend.
That's an inside joke that happened in Milwaukee for no one's benefit.
Well, Chris might be listening to this. That's for you, buddy.
I don't get it.
Chris was very drunk and was telling us the amount of things.
And he was like, there's so many species of beetles. He's like, how many people are on the planet? I don't know, but there's more beetles. How many of this thing is there? I don't know, but there's more beetles.
I only know like four, maybe.
Oh, because we were
John, Paul, Ringo, George, yeah. Episode 1, which I have titled Traffic Accident in Space.
I titled the first episode of this serial, It's Not What It Looks Like.
So,
it was a spaceship.
They land on a spaceship.
It's in space. The ship's in space.
Yes.
Spaceship.
And the TARDIS lands there. Well, before he lands there, we meet the crew a little bit. A
couple of pilots.
And they sort of set up that there is a pending war about to happen.
And
things are tense.
Yeah.
There's this scroll that says, you know, it's a period of civil unrest.
And then we pan down, and then ships come by. And then on that ship is two robots. Androids, I guess. I don't know. A tall, shiny yellow one. And a small trash can white one.
I don't remember any of this.
It's in there. And then Ki-Adi Bundi shows up.
Were you guys watching the same episode as me?
Frontier and Space Wars.
You know Ki-Adi Mundi?
No, I do not.
He was in the prequels to this serial. He's got this tall head, and he's on the council.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's in this.
Oh, he's the Draconian?
Yeah, the Draconians. The whole time I was looking at the Draconians thinking like, Ki-Adi Mundi's got a skin condition. Something happened to that guy. For the record, I did look up that name. I don't actually have the name Ki-Adi Mundi filed away in my head. I googled it. I remember Bibble. I do not forget Bibble. But Ki-Adi Mundi, that's outside of what I... Well, I guess I know it now, but I'm going to forget. The Draconians look like Ki-Adi Mundi crossed with the creature from the Black Lagoon. Oh, and another Star Wars prequel thing. The Ogrons, when they enter, they Phantom Menace through the door. I have now mentioned everything I've written down about this episode. Let's go.
The pilots also established that they're in a cargo ship.
The costumes are great, by the way. Those spacesuits, the guys flying the ship... Those are great costumes. They've got those fluffy bits. It's great.
They've got big, fluffy shoulder pads.
They're like pool noodles that have been cut up and, or like those things that go around like pipes. That's probably what they are. And they've been like cut open and folded over the shoulder. And they've got them around the arms too. Although those might be just pillowy things.
They got some like little fluffy, stripy elbow bands.
They look like American Gladiators or something.
Vince, was it you said they look like they're going to be on Wipeout? Who said
that? That was Chris.
That was Chris.
So they're also, the thing they're carrying is just flour.
Yeah.
The moment the TARDIS arrives and the camera pulls back and they step out of the TARDIS, there's this great set. There's these lights and there's these railings and it looks great.
It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, it's like, wow, they got a cool set for this. They should have had some of that for the three doctors. Some of the good sets. Some sets that look nice.
The sets all around on this serial are great.
Are great. And again, they like built all these amazing sets and it's like, should we spend some time in them? No, we should spend some time in this jail cell.
Well, some of the jail cell sets are pretty cool too.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like yellow railings and there's stairs and there's lights and there's these things on the wall and there's tubes. It's all the stuff you want from spaceships. It's got all the makings of a spaceship.
I'm pretty sure every time there's a spaceship, there's usually at least one, I don't know what they're called, but like the board you use for directing, like where you have all your different shots and you can punch them up and all that. Yeah. I always see them in like sci-fi things. That's because that comes from a TV station. And I was just like, that has buttons, shove it in there. It's got that little like fader.
Is that in this scene where they get off the thing?
In the pilot area, maybe?
It looked like there was one, but I don't think there actually was.
Before the TARDIS appears on the ship, it appears in space. And
the switcher board.
The TARDIS appears in space, and it looks like it. They're like, what the hell is that? And then it disappears and lands inside the ship so as to avoid crashing into it. And then there's another ship coming towards the ship. So they try to make contact with it.
The ship models are pretty cool, too. One of them looks kind of like, it's got the thing at the front that makes it look like the Red Dwarf, but it's blue. It's got a big red thing with a thing at the front. And that thing at the front looks like the thing at the front of one of these ships.
And now you know.
The more you know.
Is that the Draconian battlecruiser or the one that they're in?
I don't know. They keep changing. The one that keeps changing appearance, one of those appearances reminds me of the Red Dwarf.
They try to make contact with the ship and it starts making very loud noise. The loud noise is playing throughout the ship and one of the pilots of the ship that they're on shows up to find out what's going on, and it's to come see the Doctor and Joe, and he sees the Doctor as a Draconian.
Yeah, but it's like a really cheap Draconian. Like, it looks worse than all of the other Draconians. It's like they weren't ready, they weren't done making the costumes yet when they shot it or something, because it doesn't quite look right. Looks sort of like a Draconian.
There's an effect over it, too. Like a...
Yeah, but like, I'm going to take a screenshot of this right now, and I'm you're going to agree with me that this does not look like a fully formed, finished Draconian costume.
No, it really does not.
Oh, wow.
That's really bad.
Yeah, it looks really unfinished.
Where are the eyes?
I know, right? It's like they had like a model of like, oh, this is approximately what we're going for, and they just took a shot of that. Like, this is probably a miniature. Or just like a sculpture that they had, like, work in progress thing, where it's like, oh, this might be what it's going to look like, approximately. Because it doesn't quite look right.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's on somebody. It looks like it's just the mask. But that's what the pilot sees the Doctor as. But Joe sees the pilot as a Drashig.
Yeah, yeah, the things from that other great episode.
Carnival of Monsters.
Carnival of Monsters was like, this is better than it has any right to be. It's like, it was a lot of fun, and the monsters were really cool. And then there's this sort of sense over the whole thing where it's like, this feels really cheap, but it's amazing.
The Drashigs were really well designed, I thought.
Specifically when you, gross. Like, the close-up of them slinking along.
The puppet heads were made of dog skulls, or something like that.
What?
Yeah, they used, I think, dog skulls or like wolf or fox or something, like actual skulls that they molded stuff onto.
Why?
I watched the behind the scenes of that episode. I didn't watch the behind the scenes of this serial because I've been busy cleaning, but I did watch, now we're talking about Carnival Monsters. Yeah, they made the puppets out of, not the one that they used in this, but the one that they used before, or one of them at least, or two of them. They used like a dog skull and they put a bunch of stuff on it and it turned into this great puppet.
Upsetting.
That is upsetting.
Well, I'm guessing they didn't actually kill a dog to get it. They just had it probably.
Yeah, but still, like,
knowing that there are like real life bones inside of it.
Well, they're not live bones, they're dead.
Well, they're not fake bones.
Yeah, I know there's something about it that weirds me out. I can't articulate why though.
It is a bit creepy. It's a bit morbid that they used parts of dead things to make a puppet, but it worked.
I'm very unsettled.
It was one of the coolest puppets they've had, but yeah, it was made of a dog or something like that.
But that's probably why, because as opposed to like reconstructing something that looks animalistic, you're building, like, you have the structure there and you're building on top of it.
And it had the like the working jaw and everything.
Yeah, there's something too that looks both familiar and unfamiliar about it, I'm sure.
It's somewhere in the vicinity of the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, then what happens?
There's a docking thing that happens. The spaceships dock.
And the Draconian Earth people.
They Skype a little bit,
and it's a black and white screen, because they have those in the future. And it's a Draconian, and he looks a little bit better than the one that they showed before. Still not quite like what we eventually see, I think, but I think it's unpainted, but it's like almost done. I think they were on a tight schedule.
Yeah, they're on Skype, and they're like, we're coming in, and the pilots are like hell.
The Draconians and the Earth people don't really care for each other very much.
No, they're the ones who are going to be at war.
Because they are in a colonizing race, I guess.
Yeah, and they have, what do you call it, like a treaty, an agreement, and like they both think the other one's been breaking it. And they're like, if you guys would just knock it off, we won't have to go to war. If you don't knock it off, like, we're gonna have to make you stop. Both sides are very reluctant, it seems.
Yeah, and very confused.
They put the Doctor and Joe into a cell.
Cell number one.
Cell number one.
Let's keep a running count here.
Every time they do this, like, it's either they pass some exposition or they have a cute moment.
Well, before they do that, we get to see a more finalized version of the Draconian. Looks more finished. He's got a beard, and he's painted, and he's got the shoulder thingies, and he's got the full costume.
It looks really good.
So it's an effective design. It's like, this is like, I feel like the budget was higher for this serial. Like, it feels like at least Star Trek.
Especially since, say, the Three Doctors. I feel like we've had a dramatic jump in quality of set design, of costume design, a lot of the art behind it. It feels more like the thing that it is instead of me going like, sure, that's a spaceship.
Right.
I'm like, that's a spaceship. They're in a spaceship right now.
They're nailing it.
Although, to be fair, costumes are normally on point. Even when I'm like, that wasn't my favorite serial, I was like, had a great costume, though.
Yeah, everything comes together production-wise on this one.
Yeah. Everybody finally got up to the costuming's level.
Yeah, but I think the costumes got more budget this time, too, because it's like there's more stuff going on with the costumes.
And the masks, too, like the alien mask.
It definitely feels like we got an extra chunk of change.
And like they blended into like their real face very naturally.
You can sort of see where it gaps with the eyes, but it's like it's passable. It looks good. Like it works.
It looks good on him. It looks a little less good on some other more secondary Draconians. You can sort of see it's a little looser, but
well, yeah, that's the Planet of the Apes thing where it's like you've got the good ones and then you've got the ones sort of that get the cheaper, faster mask where you just sort of slap a mask on them rather than sort of glue on a bunch of pieces.
At some point, I don't remember this first place they get held, but it's at this point that we find the Doctor just sort of tells Joe briefly about the Draconians and the...
She calls them dragons.
Well, they called them dragons, and he's like, maybe don't say that.
Is that before or after the president? Because the president shows up before we get to see them put in a cell. Because there's a Draconian having a conversation with the human president.
She's got a cool outfit, too.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
It was orange with a collar.
Everybody has very high collars in this serial.
Not the Draconians. They've got high shoulders.
You get a collar or shoulder pads. Those are your options.
All right, this is where they're like talking about the treaty and stuff. And they say that the Draconians have been breaking the treaty, and the Draconians are like, no, we've not.
You've been breaking the treaty, because they both think that the other one has been, like, stealing ships.
And they're like, well, we just got a phone call from this one ship.
A distress signal saying that they've been boarded by Draconians. They've been attacked by Draconians, and we have to go help them, and what do you think, they're lying? And the Draconian's like, what do you think, I'm lying? And they're just both like, I don't know! None of us know what's happening! And that's very tense, and everyone's very mad and confused.
And then they get put into a cell. He sort of explains that calling them a dragon is kind of a slur, basically. But, because they hear the sound thing again. Then
they realize that the sound is what is causing
the problem. We also cut back to the president for a second, and there's like a news broadcast going on this wall. It's projected onto like this weirdly shaped sheet. And it's like, that is a terrible aspect ratio for your TV. It's just like a fucking throw rug on your wall.
Yeah, the edges are very crinkly and uneven.
Hey, we have a person of color, though, as the news reporter.
We do.
And he's wearing a really awesome purple outfit. I like that outfit.
I feel like there has been lately an effort to, when we're telling a story about Earth, to make Earth feel very global and not just England. That seems like that has been, like, a conscious choice somebody has made, like, recently.
Well, that in the future, the Earth will be unified, or at least pretending to be.
So that's good.
I think that's a general assumption because all the other planets are. Because once you go space, it's like, we're all from a planet.
Yeah, it's, like, too much information to be like, what's your planet's culture specifically where you're from? Because, like, I couldn't tell you anything about Earth. I could tell you about, like, Missouri and Georgia.
Yeah, I think they're probably taking after Star Trek with the whole, like, oh, you got people from different places on Earth. It doesn't really, it's just Earth. Not that Star Trek was necessarily the first to do that in any medium, but on television, they kind of made that a big thing. I don't know if they did it first, but they did it big.
They seem to be going out of their way more to include people of different, you know, nationalities on just, like, when you have somebody kind of, like, in the newscast in the background, or anytime there's, like, a Galactic Federation sort of deal that's, like, that's representing Earth, that cast is always, like, fairly diverse, and it seems like that was a conscious decision on somebody's part. So, like,
yeah, I think they're catching on to that, because they really dropped the ball during the second Doctor era on the diversity thing.
Yeah.
They gotten better.
I mean, I'm assuming they're going to get worse here and there occasionally.
Especially as, like, showrunners come and go. And back to the things. There's a thing with the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah. Well, okay. First off, he says he can't sonic the door because there's no bolts on it.
It doesn't have bolts.
That limitation is going to go away, I feel like.
Yeah, they changed it to it doesn't work on wood in the new iteration.
I feel like they're, like, legitimately using it as a screwdriver at this point. Like, how can we twist this a little bit so it works on other things? But it's going to slow. I think it's slowly becoming more magic.
I mean, it
magic
detonated
wandy.
Mines in the last couple of ones.
And the Sea Devils, and it blew up the gas swamp thing and Carnival of Monsters. But yeah, I mean, he does eventually sonic the door anyway. He just, like, oh, I can do it like this instead. Because the Ogrons are coming on board the ship. So everybody's sort of distracted by that because they're doing the Phantom Menace thing.
Yeah, because the Ogrons are a thing.
Yeah,
you guys remember the Ogrons?
From that terrible Day of the Daleks?
I don't understand why they keep trying to make them such a thing.
They're mercenaries, right?
Yeah, I don't care for them.
They don't have, like, a good design. They're just orcs. They're just space orcs. They're not interesting in any way. The first time they showed up, they didn't even do anything.
They didn't need to be there, no.
They didn't add anything to the story. They don't super add anything to this story.
And their name is just Ogre with the sci-fi ending.
I hate them.
The Ogrons.
Like, as a monster design, they're one of my least favorites.
Are they trying to make them their own Klingons? Is that what they're going for? Where they're, like, trying to establish them?
It doesn't work. I don't know. I feel like with the Ogrons, part of their sort of thing is that they're really stupid. And that's boring.
But that's realistic, though. I mean, the whole idea of the evil genius is, like, that's a subversion of reality that's become a cliche. Because, like, evil is just stupid plus power.
I don't super care for the Ogrons. They're terrible design, and they're boring. Anyway, they're trying to cut in, and the Doctor and Joe open the cell door that they're in. with the Sonic somehow. They do something different. I don't remember what they do, but it works. They open the door, but they are immediately caught. And the doctor's like, oh, sorry, and shuts the door. They swing the door open, and they're like, out! And they leave. And Joe's like, that's where we were going anyway.
Yeah.
She says it so, like, fuck you.
They've been writing Joe so well lately, and it makes me happy in my heart.
Yeah, Joe is great in the serial.
I feel like from Peladon, they've figured out how to write her. Then the Ogrons enter, then they shoot the doctor. And that should have been the cliffhanger.
You'd think.
It should have been. He's been shot.
There's multiple times where we're like, well, that's the cliffhanger, and then it's not, and then the episode ends on something like not at all cliffhangery.
So that's kind of the one weakness of the serial is the cliffhangers are misplaced.
Because then we cut to back to the president, who's being told that people are not very happy with her. They've burnt an effigy of this woman in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Which is apparently the British way of saying Los Angeles. And then we cut back and the doctor just wakes up and he's fine.
He's a little bit rough around the edges.
Yeah, but he's mostly okay.
I mean, yeah, he's not dead.
They stunned him, basically.
Yeah. I'm just pointing that out because I like any time that the doctor is vulnerable. Okay, moving on.
Joe is back in her cell. The doctor's not. They just left him lying out there?
Yeah, they shot him, knew that he wasn't dead, only stunned him, and then was like, do we need to carry this one to the cell? No? Okay.
Now, he'll just walk right back into his cell. He did that. He gets up, and he walks back to his cell.
And he finds out that they took all the cargo, but they also took the TARDIS, the Ogrons did. And the crew has been stunned as well, the pilots and stuff. But then the rescue ship arrives. The doctor talks to them a little bit, but the crew awakens and says that they were attacked by draconians and that the doctor and Joe must have been in on it and they're traitors. And that's the cliffhanger. It kind of stops in the middle of this conversation. Like, I feel like something got cut and they're like, oh shit, this episode's not long enough.
We gotta move everything back a bit. And then it affected all of the cliffhangers.
I feel like that has to have been what happened.
Yeah, they must have taken something out of the first episode, or they just miscalculated, and they had to, like, oh shit, oh fine, we'll just put the cliffhanger here instead. And it kept happening. And then they had to add stuff to the last episode, probably.
Because then, at the beginning of episode 2...
Which I have called The Sound of Fear.
Oh, I like that one, actually.
I have called it Locked Up and Doing Bits.
That's an apt description. But yeah, we get the longest recap, I feel like, of my life.
They play, like, the entire scene from where the people come on board, and they're waking them up, and the draconians attacked us, and they're traitors, and, like, it's that entire scene.
It's a minute long.
Yeah, I timed it.
They're probably trying to adjust back, but they failed.
And then that further establishes that didn't feel like the cliffhanger, because it just, where we reach the point of the cliffhanger, it just naturally keeps going.
Can you read this note you have about what the rescue crew looks like?
They look like fancy wrestlers.
Please explain.
They look like fancy wrestlers.
In what way?
I thought they looked like American gladiators.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Fancy wrestlers.
Fancy wrestlers.
Is that the genre of American gladiators? Fancy wrestling?
Yeah, fancy wrestling.
There was a Swedish version of American gladiators.
What was it called?
The gladiators.
You didn't have like
You a, didn't feel you the didn't need to specify their nationality?
No, the Swedish version of American Idol. Idol.
Really?
Yeah, they don't bother to put the fucking country in it, because it's on Swedish television and people are speaking Swedish. You don't need to clarify. It's fine. There's one country where people speak Swedish. Also, putting the country in the name of anything sounds really tacky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we do it in America.
Like, it's baked into American culture and it's, like, normalized, but in Sweden, like, if you keep pointing out that things are Swedish, you start sounding like a racist.
Joe and the doctor get put back in another, well, the same cell. Joe starts, like, pacing back and forth, trying to make plans. The doctor's just like, calm down. We're just gonna hang out here, wait till we get to Earth and get to talk to somebody who's important. That's the plan we're doing. Stop trying to, like, Shawshank your way out of here. Then this is one of the, they get stuck in a cell and are being adorable bits.
They go from cell to cell, just doing a bit, and then the next cell, and then they do a bit. That's basically this whole episode, right? They're just going from cell to cell doing bits.
That's basically it.
Not a whole lot happens other than that, but it's great. It's a great episode. How many cells are there in this episode? 2?
Well, I think so far we just had one in the first episode. They get put back in at the beginning of the second episode, and now they get I think they land on Earth and get put into a bigger cell.
And they do another bit.
The one guard, the Earth guy, is like, you should tell them everything. They're going to question you, tell them everything, or you're going to get the mind probe. And then Joe and the doctor are left alone, and Joe's like, what's a mind probe? And the doctor's like, this is a mind probe. And he tells this story of how he gave this mind probe a nervous breakdown and it shut off because he was telling the truth, but the truth wasn't very believable. Which was, what was it? He met a yellow horse. It was like a polka dotted elephant. It was something really weird. He's like, I have a meeting with a yellow horse and a polka dotted elephant, something like that. And it was apparently 100% true, and the machine like just broke down because it couldn't believe it. Which I don't think that's how machines work.
Probably not. Electric monks are designed to believe things. But other than that, generally, that's not what machines are for.
The mind probe is basically a fancy sci-fi version of, like, a lie detector. But anyway, that's another example of getting stuck in a cell, and he explains something or is adorable, and this is both.
Mm-hmm.
So the Draconians and the Earth people, the president and all that, bring in Joe and the doctor to question them. And they ask the doctor who his employer is. And he's like, I have no employers. Even though he's kind of been working for UNIT.
He's definitely employed at UNIT. He's definitely just forgotten that.
Well, whenever he's not at UNIT, he sort of conveniently doesn't think about it. He doesn't think of himself as working for UNIT. He currently isn't working for UNIT because this is the future. So he's no longer working at UNIT because he's out of sync with the timeline. So he was working at UNIT hundreds of years ago.
But not now.
Do they get taken to another cell? No, they get taken back to the cell.
Yeah, they get taken back to the same cell, but there's like this incredibly long scene of just them walking to the cell for no reason. I mean, it's a good
set, and somebody was like, oh man, they like pulled up at their location and was like, we gotta use this.
Is it the same set doubling for another set or for another cell, or is it supposed to be them being taken back to the same cell?
They're getting taken back to the same cell. They were at, like, they were getting questioned.
Because the long walk really made it seem like they were being brought to another cell.
See, like, the long walk, I thought they were getting taken to the mind probe. And then, like, when they just got back to the cell, I was like, oh. I, like, really thought we were, like, building up the tension to be tortured. And it's like, they were already tortured, and they're just bringing them back. They just really like that.
Well, they haven't tortured them yet.
They were questioned. They weren't tortured.
Yeah, they just sort of brought them, had a little chat, and then they took them back to the cell. So why didn't they show the walk the first time, but they showed it the second time? That really fucks with the perception of, like, where they are. Because you're establishing it after having been there. And it makes it seem like they're going to a new place because of the establishing. Because it's like, oh, let's establish a new place. And, oh, it's the same place?
By all rights, it makes no sense.
Yeah, from a filmmaking standpoint, it seems like they're being taken from one cell to another rather than from one cell back to itself. They put that scene in the wrong place.
Yeah, it would have worked better if they just moved it. And they don't say anything in that scene, so you could.
Yeah, no, it's just walking.
Walking to music.
They could have had a cut down version of the walk before they got to the cell the first time.
What if they? Oh, it would have been worse if they'd had it before and after.
No, that's some one Dr. Era shit.
You gotta see everything. How else will we know they've moved?
But they haven't moved. They're back at the same pace. They could have just questioned them in the cell. There was no point getting them out of the cell and putting them back in the cell.
Do you think the president's going to leave her office?
They could have had one of those Skypey phones.
But they get put back in the cell. The doctor tries to sonic the door, and it sets off an alarm. So they're like, oh, well, guess we'll just stay here.
So it's an alarm that detects sound waves?
I guess, or tampering.
Yeah, any tampering with the lock mechanism.
Yeah, I guess the lock itself could be alarmed for movement.
Yeah, I think he's, like, twisting the bolts. Then we cut to the Draconian's office, which is sweet. It's really cool.
They got a window to the outside, and it's got regular trees.
Well, I think it's their office on Earth.
Oh, it's the embassy?
Yeah.
And they got, like, a desk that has, like, some weird shit on it, like desk ornaments.
You gotta do a better job of explaining. Come on now.
Listen, I watched this a week ago. I don't remember exactly what it would look like.
They got one of those ball televisions that they use for Skyping. I guess that's a 70s thing. That was a thing. There's this thing that looks like a metal heart or something.
Yeah, it's like an art piece.
It's very slick.
It feels like a very, like, minimalistic, arty office. So, I like it. It's a very good set. It's very big, too.
And they're making use of a lot of tiny 70s kitsch televisions in this serial. Because the president has one, too, but, like, it's not a ball, it's a circle. It's a cylinder.
And I think they kind of have this plan. They come up with this plan because they want to question the Doctor and Joe separately.
Can I talk about how much their plan doesn't make any dang sense?
Well, sure.
It doesn't make any dang sense.
Thank you. They're going to break him out of prison?
They want to question him because they obviously, like, the Earth people are like, these are your spies. And they're like, we don't know who the fuck that is. And they're like, think like the other one is making shit up. So they want to question them alone, but, like, their plan, like, they were planned to do it, like, sneakily, right?
Right.
It's like, well, if they escape, you know, we can't break them out of prison because that would be, like, ethically sketchy with, like, all the treaties we have going on. But if they were to escape and they were to come to us and ask for, like, sanctuary, it would be rude not to. And so, like, he leaves going, like, well, go take care of that then. And I thought they were going to be, like, sneaky. That they were going to, like, sneak in, let them out, like, be like, meet us here, and sneak back out. So that they could just be like, ah, they just escaped. They came here. So they had plausible deniability. They don't do that.
No, they just straight up, like, rushed the place.
Yeah, they rolled a two.
Also, we haven't said that the Doctor has this theory that there's a third party, which is the Ogrons.
And they're using the...
this to, like, start a war between the two, yeah. And nobody believes him.
He keeps trying to tell people, and everyone's like, nah.
Nah, it's the Draconians, or nah, it's those Earth people.
But yeah, instead of doing, like, literally the plan they discussed about being sneaky, they just
have a shootout.
Yeah, they just show up, shoot some people.
And kidnap the Doctor.
And kidnap the prisoners.
Well, they don't get Joe. They just get the Doctor.
Also, like, he calls and he's like, hey, Miss President, I'd like to interrogate the people. And she's like, okay, we'll do it together. And he's like, okay. So, like, they kidnap them during, like, the transfer. So it's really obvious that he did that so that they would move him.
The Draconians take the Doctor, but not Joe. Joe is questioned by the President.
The Doctor's questioned by the...
Doctor's questioned by the Draconians.
Emperor? Was that his...
He might have been. I don't know.
All right.
And the Draconians also want to do the mind probe on the Doctor. But the Doctor does karate, like, falls backwards in his chair and rolls out.
Yeah, I could not tell if that fall was intentional. I couldn't tell if he tripped over the chair and was like, I'm making this work.
That's what it looked like.
Well, it worked. It was great. I love that moment.
It was amazing.
And then he runs out, but is immediately caught by the Earth people.
Yes.
Who take him back to the cell.
Is he held in a cell when he's being questioned by the Draconians?
No, he wasn't. Sadly. He did not get put in a Draconian cell. Missed opportunity.
They get put back in the same cell, right? From before?
Yes. We're still at cell count number two.
Because when I was watching this, and I was barely awake, to be honest, I was the whole time thinking, every time we saw a cell, it's like, oh, another cell? Because, like, the whole idea of, like, showing the same set over and over again just didn't even occur to me. I was like, no, this is another cell.
We're only at a two-cell count currently.
Yes.
We'll keep track as we go along.
We're getting more, though, right?
Yes, we're definitely getting more. At least... two.
At least two more.
At least two. There might be more. I can't remember. We'll see as we go on. And then we hear the sound again. The sound of fear.
Is this when the Ogrons burst in?
They bust through a door because he hates doors. Those Ogrons hate doors.
Well, they get it from the Daleks.
That should have been a clue to the ending of the serial and that the Ogrons had previously worked for the Daleks. Spoilers, the Daleks show up. But like, I did not see that coming.
I was genuinely shocked by it.
I eventually saw it coming. I'll let you know when I first thought, Daleks might show up. Not yet.
There's a part early on in, like, the first episode where they're in their first cell and they're talking about the Ogrons and who is, like, really the mastermind behind them because, like, obviously they're too dumb to be, like, trying to orchestrate a war. And Joe says, well, are they working for the Daleks? And the Doctor's like, no. So, like, the first time the Ogrons showed up, I was like, oh, man, Daleks are going to be in this. And then that scene happened, and I was like, oh, the Doctor just said Daleks aren't going to be in this. So they're not. I felt lied to.
Because the Doctor's never wrong.
The Doctor never lies either, obviously.
Rule number one. What's rule number one? Tony, what is rule number one?
We don't talk about Fight Club.
That's the wrong rule number one.
We never lie about Fight Club.
That's also the wrong rule number one. Rule number one. What's rule number one? It's also not how do I know you're not a cop, which is from the trailer to a movie called Entrapment with Sean Connery. He's like, rule number one. How do I know you're not a cop? Which is, you know, that's a great rule.
Rule number one, the doctor always lies about being a cop.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the doctor does always lie about being a cop. It says right on the TARDIS, police. So he's definitely lying about being a cop. Although, shadow proclamation.
Does the Elgron that enters at the end, he barks something. Is that dialogue or is that just a weird bark?
I think he says, you, come, but in Elgron speak. So he's like, you, come. He's very mumbly and growly, but I think that's what he says. I think he says, you come.
Maybe we, okay, I don't want to hear the phrase you come anymore. I'm done with that.
You come.
No, you come. That's the end of episode two, which is awesome. It's an okay cliffhanger, I guess.
Hmm.
And we're now into episode three, which I've called Probing in Space.
I called it The Big House on the Moon, which is kind of like The Little House on the Prairie, but it's The Big House on the Moon.
Oh, yeah, this is the episode where the serial for me, like, took a left turn. Where I was just like, oh, okay.
I will say there was a scene that got cut here. I know for a fact.
Okay.
There was a whole scene with the president and the woman we're about to meet, but her whole scene basically got cut except for what she does in the scene. She had dialogue, but it got cut. So that might be part of the reason things got shifted around. I don't know.
So it happened twice, maybe. It maybe happened in the first episode, and then they adjusted it by having a long recap, and then it happened again here.
It's possible. Because we have the president getting a massage, like a head massage.
Yeah.
While she's talking to someone else.
That whole scene, there's like three women just like in the room talking about politics, and I was like, this is nice.
Well, two of them were talking, one of them was just giving a massage.
Yeah.
She had lines, but it got cut.
So this passes the test. Well, do they have names?
President and the other one. Listen, if they had names, I wouldn't know. I can't remember names of anybody in any serial.
If they have names, it passes the test. But if they don't have names...
Well, the president definitely has names. Has names? She has multiple names.
I don't know if that other character is named ever. But it was nice to see. I was like, there sure are a lot of women on the screen at one time.
So the secretary's name... is secretary, so it doesn't pass this test. Oh, and the president is named President of Earth. So who's Sheila? Because that's a woman with a name. Oh yeah, that's the massage person. She has a name.
The massage person who has no.
She
lines.
Gets a name.
She gets a name. The president doesn't get a name. The secretary doesn't get a name. But the masseuse gets a name. So yeah, this episode was like. Two names away from passing the test.
I mean, they have titles. I don't know. I mean, the doctor doesn't have a name.
That's true.
So then a shootout happens with the Elgrons. The Elgrons do not get the doctor and Joe. And the doctor and Joe are put back in the cell. So this was pointless. We're still in cell number two.
Cell number two happens for a long time.
It does.
I kept thinking they got moved from cell to cell, but it's really just cell number two.
I mean, there are more to come, for sure.
Wouldn't it have been, like, better if they had been moved from one cell to another the whole time? And it's, like, noticeably different cells?
Different sizes, different types of containment.
That would have added some variety.
The doctor is about to be moved, though, from a cell to a prison.
That's a type of cell.
Yeah.
A prison is a type of cell.
It's a thing that contains cells, generally.
And knowing is half the battle.
The doctor is mind-probed. He tells the truth. And the prober is like, maybe he was brainwashed to believe it. Increase the power. And then the machine breaks. Because the doctor is too truthful.
Didn't this happen in a previous serial? Wasn't it the one with the little robots?
Of course.
In that episode, wasn't there a scene where they got tortured... Or, like, mind-probed or something. And they kept answering the right answers, the truth, and the bad guys were like, we refuse to believe the truth. Was that serial, or was that a different one? I know it's happened before.
They definitely did it in that, and they also did it in the Space Museum, the first Doctor, where they hooked up the thing and they could see his thoughts.
But wasn't there one of those where they kept saying, like, no, you're this is what we know, and he's like, no, that's not true, and they were like, yes, it is, stop lying. And they had a thing that could tell them if he was lying, and it was saying that he wasn't lying, and then they were like, he's lying. So it's like, why do you even have the fucking machine if you don't fucking trust the output? Like, if you don't trust the machine, why do you have the machine? Why do you use it? Why even bother?
Yeah, that was the Dominators.
It happens in the War Machines.
Not that you mean the War Games.
The War Games. Yeah, they're like interrogating Zoe, and she keeps telling he's.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
actually the feeding
dude has,
her
like, the binocular.
Yeah,
thing.
He's actually feeding her like the answers that he wants. Where he's like, "You're spies," and she's like, "No, we're not." He's like, "You came here to screw things up," and she's like, "No."
Yeah, that's I find that so frustrating when, especially when there's technology involved that's supposed to tell the bad guys whether they're lying, and the thing is saying that they're not lying, and they're like, "No, you're lying," because then it's like, why do you even use that fucking machine if you don't trust it? If you don't trust the output, why even bother like using it? Because it's like it's giving you output. Read the fucking readings. What's your problem? There's a reason why you're using the machine, and if you're not gonna pay attention to it, fucking throw it in the trash. That's what you do with a machine that's not doing what it's supposed to do. Like, you either trust that the output is accurate, or you don't use the machine. If you're repeatedly getting those same results, it's like, well, clearly this machine is a bad machine, and we should stop using it, or it's giving accurate output, and I should stop mistrusting what it's saying. Like, you have two ways to go with that, and to continue to pressure torture doesn't work.
You are correct.
Shit's stupid. But I love this cereal, but it has that moment, and it's like, this cereal has so many things that, like, normally I would be like, this is so, I can't stand this. And it's like, no, I love this cereal. Because, like, they keep getting put in cells, and that's, like, the worst. Getting put in cells over and over again, the same cell, over and over again. It's a terrible thing. Works somehow.
Mostly because it forces them to have like quiet character moments, like small character moments. And I enjoy that.
And there's frustrating, stupid villains who just won't listen to reason. And there's interrogation with assistance by machine, and they don't trust the output. Like, there's all these things that, like, normally I'd be like, fuck, what is going on? Stop it. And yet I love the cereal. I can't not.
Somebody left a comment on, was it one of the GIF sets for the Time Monster, I think. And it was something along the lines of, I was having so much fun watching this serial, I just forgot to think that it was bad. And that's how I feel a lot of the times. Where you're like, sure, if I like looked at it objectively, that's kind of a mess of a thing and not very cohesive. But I was having so much fun watching it that I forgot to look at it objectively. And so it's a good serial.
Well, it's got great sets, it's got great costume, it's got great bits.
The mind probe breaks, and they put the doctor back in the cell.
Yes.
And he just sort of lays down and is like, maybe we'll get kidnapped again.
Maybe we'll be taken to a nicer new cell.
That's my plan now. Just hope we get kidnapped. But instead, he gets taken to the president, where he is sentenced to a lunar penal colony.
Without a trial. After this thing just said he was innocent.
Yeah, politics, man.
That's so sketchy.
And not only that, Joe is not coming with him, and he doesn't get to say goodbye.
Yeah, why did they bother questioning him if what he said shouldn't put him in a cell, and the output of the machine shouldn't put him in a cell, and they put him in another cell? And it's like, why do they even bother to question him if they're just going to lock him up no matter what?
The illusion of due process?
Yeah, but they don't trust the process. If they had trusted the process, they would have been like, well, the machine says it's fine. So let's not put him on the moon.
But they do. They put him on the moon.
And the sentence is forever. We meet some other prisoners in their blue scrubs. And the doctor, like, immediately is like, hey, who wants to escape? Anybody want to escape? Let's escape. Who wants to do an escape? Just, like, very bluntly, too. He's not even being subtle about it. But he makes friends with, like, this one guy who he's always doing a peace sign with. And an older guy who is going to help him escape.
They are, what do they call themselves? They're like the Resistance, but I don't, yeah. They have a name. Like the Peace Coalition. There's a professor, and there's like a young kid.
Who was a student of his at one point.
Yeah.
And there's also the dickhead character.
There's like the,
I run this prison, even though I'm also a prisoner.
The like guy. Overseer guy.
Basically, I don't even really think there's a lot of like guards or anything. It's just like, you're kind of fucking stuck on the moon. What are you going to do? Run?
Right.
There ain't no air out there.
Patel, I think, is the guy.
The peace, the younger one, right?
Yeah, and the professor is Professor Dale. And
Patel's the one who's always, like, throwing the peace sign. But then the president calls in the commissioner. Is it the prison? Works for the prison or something? I don't remember. But anyway, it's the master. The commissioner is the
master.
He
doesn't work for the prison. He showed up because he has a claim on their prisoners.
Right.
He's like, he says he's a commissioner from wherever. Sirius.
Oh yeah, because before he shows up, the president and the guy they're sort of looking through files and they're going, oh, these are criminals, the doctor and Joe, because we got this information from the guy, and then the guy comes in.
You were so angry. He showed up and you were like, fuck.
Yeah, I was watching. Because I wasn't watching the stream at this point, I think, but I did watch it afterward, because it was logged. So I watched along with you guys afterward.
And I said, fuck you. That's what
Why
I said.
Why were you so angry?
Because he's always wearing some dumbass disguise, strolling in. It's always him. It's like, it's the same reaction I had when he showed up in Colony in Space. I don't know why. Just like, it makes me, like, mad. Not like in a I don't like it way, but like, you rascal.
But like, the disguise he's wearing now is an I'm with Dalek shirt.
See, that I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't either.
You didn't see the I'm with Dalek shirt? It says like, I'm with Dalek, and there's like an arrow that points to the side. No, what it is it's a symbol that looks like a Dalek. It's like, it's a ball and it's got a little eye thing on the top and it's got like stripes on the lower part. So it's like a Dalek ball.
I kept staring at it, too.
See, that doesn't seem in character for me. It seems like it should say master.
In the second shot, or like when we've cut away from the master and then we cut back to the master, because there was a little mini scene in the prison. When we cut back to him, we're fairly close up. And I like, at that moment, I go, oh, he's wearing a Dalek shirt. And then we get to see he's like with the president and the guy with the collar.
Right, the general.
He's a general. His name is General Williams. Is that him?
Yeah.
He's the one, by the way, who's like, the president's like, we gotta figure out what's going on and be diplomatic. And he's like, war now. Can we do a war now?
Let's do a war now.
I want to do a war now. Please and thank you.
And meanwhile, the doctor is basically just going around still being like, hey, we doing that? Hey, we doing that escape thing yet? Is that happening? And they're drinking out of sippy cups.
Yeah, I don't know why they're given sippy cups. Like, they're given their, like, nutrient goo, but they all come in sippy cups. And he pops the top off to, like, sniff it and then puts the top back on. And I was like, why are they all sippy cups? Can they not be trusted? Real cups?
Well, it's a prison, and it's the future, and sippy cups are a more advanced technology than regular cups.
They keep you from spilling things.
Well, the sippy cups might also be so that it's harder for someone to passingly drop something into your drink.
Sure, ooh. But the top pops off.
Yeah, but in order to pop someone else's top off in order to drug them, you're gonna notice that. So it's possibly to make it harder to drug people. Because sometimes drugs get smuggled into prisons on the moon.
Yeah, I've heard that's a real problem.
So the master gets Joe and says that he has the doctor's TARDIS, which is why he's sort of stuck around and like, I'm going to fuck with him some since, you know, he's nearby. That's what I do.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate Joe gets up, gets in his fucking face.
She does.
Yeah.
She's not having any of his shit today.
That's the master. She's dealt with him before. She knows that guy. She knows his deal. And she gets up and she just stares him right in the face. This shit is badass.
Basically, the look on her face is one of one who has never given a shit in her entire life.
Or one who has given enough shits to be like, I'm done giving a shit.
Yeah, we're done with you.
That's enough of your jibber jabber.
She looks like Joe saying, fuck you.
Exactly.
Like, you showing up every fucking week. What's up with that? We're fucking traveling through time and you're still showing up. Goddamn bastard person.
Which, let's talk about that for a second.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is the last serial with Roger Delgado as the master.
Oh, is it? Aw, that sucks. Yeah, I mean, they really squeezed everything they could get out of him, but still, like, he's good in the role. He owns it.
He's particularly good in this serial, too.
They had planned on bringing him back for next season's finale, but that didn't happen because, you know.
So he doesn't even get a death?
The last episode of this serial is his last episode.
But it's not like he got written off or replaced. It was he passed away.
He was in a car wreck.
Oh, I wasn't aware of the details.
The original plan was having him come back at the end of next season and, like, either reveal that he was either the Doctor's brother or the dark side of the Doctor. And then he would sacrifice himself to save the Doctor. That was the original plan. And it was going to be called The Final Game, but that all got shelved.
Sad. Does that mean it's also time to do our final ever laundry update?
Yeah, Tony. What's up with your laundry?
It's all away.
Yay!
It's all put away.
Good job.
You put it all away, and it's all been it stayed put away.
I only cried a little bit. That's a lie. I cried a lot.
We sorted everything, and then we put it away.
Yeah.
I feel like it's fitting that it's happened on his last serial.
Yeah.
It was completely unintentional, but it kind of worked out that way. It's like a tribute. Anyway, the asshole prisoner guy or whatever orders a spot check of the professor and then just says, hey, the escape plan is planned. There's you and one other person can go, and there's going to be like a ship waiting for you and a spacesuit. Like, sneakily says this while patting him down. The professor has to pick someone to go with him because he can only have one. And he picks the Doctor, this new guy, over his own student.
Who's been like, and he does not seem that upset about that. He's like, yeah, that's fair. I was like, he's gonna be in Moon Prison for the rest of his life. 5 minutes ago, he thought he was leaving Moon Prison. That's a bummer. Who's this guy? Nobody. I mean, he does tell, like, the whole story of, like, I know what's going on here, and I can stop the war. And he's like, well, we need you then.
And then throws him the peace sign as they walk away.
Yeah. But I feel really bad for that guy. I don't want him to be stuck in Moon Prison.
I'm assuming he got out eventually. You know, we never come back to him, so who knows? The professor picks the Doctor. They head out to... They go to the little supply closet or whatever where their spacesuits are, and they put them on. The door gets locked behind them.
They're in the airlock.
And it gets locked behind them, and the Doctor's like, hey, these air canisters are empty. There's nothing in them. And they've been betrayed, or something. And then something happens with the air. The air, they're getting depressurized, which is indicated by a red bar in a tube.
The airlock is getting ready to open on the wrong end, and they don't have any air, and their air canisters are empty.
And that's the cliffhanger, which that's not an alright cliffhanger.
They're about to die, so that's a cliffhanger. That's high stakes.
And we're now into episode 4, which I have called Serious Crimes.
I've sort of half-assedly called it Cellular Rearrangement.
Mine's a pun. It wins.
Mine's a pun, but it doesn't make sense.
So Professor Dale passes out, but then the Master fixes it and comes in. Here I come to save the day. That's what the Master does, right? He comes and saves the day?
When his boyfriend's in trouble, he does. When his boyfriend's in trouble and he hasn't done anything to put him there, or he has done something to put him there, but he's actually for real dying this time.
So the Master takes them to the governor. They're guilty of, you know, escaping. They're going to be put in a solitary. And the Master's like, that's cool and all, but I've come for the Doctor.
You've got to
give me the Doctor.
So I had dibs on this one.
The governor's like, no, you're not allowed to have him. This is moon rules.
We're going to put him in
What's
solitary
the first rule of
on the moon.
Moon prison.
How do I know you're not a cop?
The moon there prison are no lies. Rules.
Yeah. And then the Master's like, oh, I am a cop, and shows him a laminated piece of paper.
I love that it's laminated. It's not like a laminated ID. They're like his papers that say, like, he's here to pick up the Doctor. But it's like a full sheet of printing paper, but it's laminated.
And he basically kind of blames the governor for something. I don't remember. Like, sort of, like, tricks him into letting him take the Doctor.
The Doctor says that they were basically betrayed. And he's like, doesn't matter, you were escaping. He's like, one, you didn't. You got, like, bad air canisters while you were escaping, and you're dumb, and it's your fault. But somehow they managed to, like, tie it back to him. Like, no, you definitely arranged it. We can prove it. I think it was just that, like, he was just threatening, like, an investigation. He's like, I'm a commissioner. If I go to somewhere and ask for an investigation of this incident, what do you think will come up? He's like, okay, fine, go.
And this is when the Doctor gets confronted with his list of serious crimes, which is crimes he committed in serious something or other. 5, I think. Then the Master sort of, like, casually mentions that he has Joe. Because, like, the Doctor's not, like, just sort of like, well, whatever, stupid Master. But then, like, he's like, also, I have this prisoner, Joe. And then the Doctor's like, all right, I guess I'm your prisoner now. I guess I'm coming with you. Because he wants to you know.
He wants to be with Joe.
The master knows that Joe and the doctor are a team, and yet he's like, yeah, I'll just put you in the same cell. And this is cell number 4, right?
Yes.
Yep.
We'll count the prison as a cell because
it's a prison.
The master references the Sea Devils. He's like, hey, you remember that time I was in prison? How the tables have turned. Now I'm looking at you through the other side of the bars. And it says that they're being watched by closed circuit television, so no funny business.
What exactly constitutes funny business?
What they're about to do, which literally is funny.
It's a great scene. I love it so much. Can we talk about it? I'm going to talk about it.
The doctor doesn't have a screwdriver, by the way.
The doctor, no, they took it from him at the moon prison.
But he has a shoelace? I don't know what that thing is.
Yeah, it's a wire saw. And I think it was like hidden in his shoe somehow. He has a wire saw. There's one security camera.
That's your first problem. Get two of them.
So, wait, the technology for seeing when bolts are tampered with exists. But not the technology for seeing when you're sawing the stuff apart.
Well, this is a different cell. It's not as advanced. Because, okay, that one was triggered by movement. They're in a spaceship now.
They're in a totally different cell.
They were in a spaceship then.
No, they weren't. They were on Earth.
Not the first cell. The first one was on a spaceship.
But they got out of the first cell, using the sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
The one that the alarm went off was on Earth. I know it's confusing because we're on cell 4.
Too many cells.
Anyway, so they're chatting and they're just like talking about their lives and their issues. And at some point, the doctor sort of motions Joe to stand in front of the security camera. She does that while the doctor is behind his back sawing through the bars. And actually, he's sawing through the bars the whole time while they're talking. I think it's once he's through, she starts standing in front of the security camera. He sort of gets out and she just keeps talking away.
Just monologuing.
First off, they like recap the war games. Then they like shit talk the brig. It's so
good. That's right, they do. He was talking about meeting the brig and how he realized he's just a person who only, like a soldier who only thinks about war. And she's like, well, you know, he is a brigadier.
It's not even like they thoroughly need to be doing this either, because the master's just sort of stopped watching them and is reading War of the Worlds.
I don't know why he's reading War of the Worlds. I guess that's what the plan he's executing.
Well, he's got to learn the lesson of like, you know, you got to avoid those, you know, viruses and bacteria.
I'm wondering if like they wrote this stuff for Joe or if Joe's improvising.
She talks a lot nonstop. So yeah, he gets through the bar and they have like the really cute scene where I can't recall what they're talking about, but he's like, oh, there's a lot of red tape, but you just have to cut your way through it. And she's like,
Have you cut through the red tape? Yeah. And he's like, I sure have.
So then she moves in front of the camera, just keeps talking. And at this point, she's talking about like, you know, the master's always trying to like help you. And you're always like, nah, no thank you. And I think you really need to start rethinking that. I really think, like, if you just, like, took one of his offers one of these times, everything would be fine. For some reason, it's at this point that, like, the master turns her down because she's talking too much. And, like, I thought he would be, like, turning it up, being like, fucking tell him!
That's what I've been saying.
All along! Finally! Somebody with some sense! But yeah, he gets out and he does his whole thing, but, like, all the while, Joe is just in front of the camera, just blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, he puts on a spacesuit, and he's going to go out and fiddle with some stuff on the outside of the ship. I don't entirely remember what. But he gets out there, and the master's like, oh, I need to change directions, and blasts away, and the doctor drifts off into space.
And that's the cliffhanger. No, it's not.
More dangles off into space. You can really see how far up the rope is attached by his movement. Because he's swinging back and forth.
That should have been the cliffhanger. That is a cliffhanger. You're stranded in space. But it's not. This episode keeps going. He uses the air from his canister to sort of direct him back towards the ship. The master checks back in on Joe, like, make sure she's okay. And then she says something. He's like, you sound distressed. Are you okay? He seems legitimately concerned about Joe. But she's like, oh, everything's fine. And he's like, how are you, doctor? And she's like, he's asleep. Please let him sleep. He hasn't slept for a very long time. And the master's like, uh-huh. Bullshit, and goes to go check it out. But, like, Joe is still trying to do the distraction thing, doing the talking And it's just very sad because she thinks the doctor is drifting out in space to die.
Yeah, she's like sitting over where he should be so like the master can't see. And it's just like saying stuff like, you should really be more careful because one of these days you're going to take a risk and it's going to be the last one you take. And she's just crying and it's cute.
But the master comes in and puts Joe in the airlock. The master is like yelling out the doctor, like, I know you're here and blah, blah, blah. Cause she says that he went outside and he's like, yeah, still don't buy it. Which is good. Cause I mean, the doctor did get back on the ship. But the doctor like whips the gun out. He has a gun that he pulled out of a little cubby hole, a gun cubby hole.
His gun cubby.
The doctor like whips it out of his hands with something. I don't even remember what, like his jacket or something. And they get into like a little fight.
Some fisticuffs.
But the master is like, I'll shoot Joe off into space if you don't, you know, reveal yourself. Which that also would have been a good cliffhanger. I mean, the Draconians, they get on the ship after.
That while this is happening, they are like actively boarding the ship.
Yeah, they dock. So it's like he couldn't even like shoot Joe off into space because the Draconians lock onto the ship. They come in with Joe and are like, you guys went into Draconian space. You get the death penalty, which that seems a little severe. There's not even a slap on the wrist or nothing. You're just time to die. I think the doctor asks for a trial, but they are taken away in their ship or in the Draconian ship? It's in the Draconian ship, right? It looks very similar. And they all three get put in a cell. Cell number five?
Cell number five.
It's either the same cell or cell number five. I don't know.
Oh, can't maybe tell. It is the same cell. Because maybe they're taking that. I don't know.
Is that the master? They commandeer the master ship or are they on the Draconian ship?
It might be the same cell, or it might be, I mean, the background looks a bit different, but that might be because the lights are on.
Was it supposed to look different? Or they're just like, ah, this is like the fifth cell. I ran out of things to make cell sets with.
No, it's a different cell, because there's a rug or a cover or something on the slab thing. I don't know what you call that.
So this is cell number five.
Yeah, I think it's the same set, but they very, very slightly changed it. They turned the lights on and they threw a thing on the thing. That's how they made another cell.
So the doctor, the master, and Joe are all put in cell number five.
Cell number five.
The Draconian ship cell.
Unless the Draconians just turned on the lights and decided to decorate. You can't be comfortable on that flat, hard surface. We're just going to throw a soft thing on it. So you're a little more comfortable in the cell.
Right before we kill you.
So the master's like, look, guys, I'm going to take a nap. Lays down and pulls a thing out of his pocket and sends a signal.
And that's the cliffhanger.
It's the Ogrons. The Ogrons are following him now. Yeah, that's the cliffhanger. That's a terrible cliffhanger. You had the doctor drifting in space. You had the master threatening to shoot Joe into space. Both of those are adequate.
There was literally, while we were watching this episode, I was like, that's the cliffhanger. That's the cliffhanger. And I was like, shit, what is the cliffhanger going to be?
And
like,
I jokingly said, this is going to be the cliffhanger. And then it fucking was. And I was like, no.
I was like, we just keep upping the like ante here and it keeps not being over. What mind-blowing thing are they going to do to like actually end the episode on? And it's the master takes a nap. I mean, it is the reveal that, like, the Ogrons are following them, but that's, compared to, like, the two other things that happen in this episode, not very...
dramatic.
Dramatic, yeah.
So that's the end of episode four. We're now into episode five, which I have called The Noble of Draconia.
I have called it...
The Moment of Silence?
What did you say?
I said I have called it...
Bold choice.
I wasn't taking notes at this point.
So they land. The master pretends to be asleep. The doctor calls him out on it.
He's not asleep, Joe. He's just pretending to be asleep, so we know how little he cares about being here. And the master just wakes up like, aw, man, you know me so well.
He starts laughing. He's like, let's go to it. Let's do the thing. And then take me to your leader. And then they pull some guns on him. He's like, all right, I'll calm down a little. So they get taken to the Draconian Emperor. His son wants a war. He doesn't like the Earth people, but the Emperor is like, no, we need to be like peaceable and shit.
We need to really make sure we know what's going on before we start this war, because there's every possibility it would wipe both of us out.
So let's question these people and see what's going on. And it's they bring in the doctor, and the doctor is like, I am a noble of Draconia. I came here like a long time ago and did some good shit for you guys. And they're like, that's just a legend. He's like, but he was called the doctor, right? He came in the TARDIS, right? Checks out, that's me. And says that the master has been manipulating this war. And Joe tries to say some things, and the emperor's son is like, hey, women don't talk in here. And we're all like, the fuck?
Rude?
those are some sexist draconians.
Or at least that one draconian is sexist.
Females are not permitted to speak around the emperor. It's more or less what he says.
But I mean, there's a point where the emperor, like, he keeps saying that, and the emperor's like, shut up, let her talk.
Well, the emperor's thing is, like, we have to respect other cultures. So, like, it's definitely a cultural thing that, like, women aren't allowed to speak. This is, like, a diplomatic choice, not like a, you're being an asshole, let her speak.
There's a Earth ship that is coming to land to talk to them. But then Joe hears the sound, says, do you guys hear that? And then the guy's like, silence, female. And she's like, you shut the fuck up and listen.
She does. She calls him out.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really good. And the Ogrons attack. There's a bit of a struggle. Then they leave with the master. The draconians see these Ogrons as Earthmen. But once the sound fades away, they see the Ogrons. And they realize that the doctor has told the truth.
The master's pissed because he's like, what do you mean you left somebody behind? You know that's how the whole thing fucking works, right?
The Ogrons are stupid.
One of the Ogrons, the guy left behind, he'll look like a human. You've ruined, like, my whole plan. And, like, the Ogrons keep trying to talk to him, and he's just, like, annoyed by them greatly.
I mean, they have a long political talk, and they're basically going to try to make up with the Earth people, right? They're going to go back to Earth and say, hey, this is true. We have this Ogron to prove it. They're going to take the Ogron there. I mean, they all get in the ship and they leave. And now we have a Ogron in a cell. Does that count as a cell?
I mean, it counts as a cell.
But not one that Joe and the doctor are in?
Yeah. It doesn't go up. It doesn't up the cell count.
This is cell 5B.
Is that the same as cell 5?
You know, I'm not sure. It might be.
What ship are they on?
They're on the draconian ship. So, yeah.
So, yes.
So, now they're moving characters in and out of the same cell rather than moving characters back and forth between different cells.
It is the same cell, but now the Ogron's in it.
And Joe gives him a banana.
You seem really upset by that.
I don't know. I worry that it may have unintentional racist connotations.
I think you're a little worried.
And I don't know. It seems like maybe some design choices should have been a little different.
Are they black? Aren't they green?
No, they are dark black.
I thought they were dark green too.
Because I don't think of the Ogrons as blackface. I think of them as dark green aliens. But like really dark green.
Okay, listen, I'm looking at pictures of them, and there's definitely things about their design that are not cool.
It's definitely on the line, if anything.
But it is dark green.
I think they might have been lightened over the... I think that's a later era Ogron, possibly.
Could they bring them back again? They're not that good!
They're really not. Because in this thing, they're purple. But, I mean, they're like, look at these dumb animals. Here, have a banana.
Well, bananas are high in potassium, and people eat them all the time. Like, I don't really get the connection necessarily between, like, bananas and racism, because it's just, it's...
Well, treating people like monkeys.
Well, people eat bananas. People go to the store and buy bananas. Like, I don't get why that's necessarily a monkey thing.
Because of the way those characters are designed and look and act on top of it. I'm not saying any of it is necessarily racist, but, like, there's a lot of stuff piling on that is a little unfortunate.
I don't think their look is supposed to be simian. I think the intent is for them to be, like, ogres.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the only person who's brought this up. I've seen people talk about it.
I'm sure you're not. I mean, there's definitely an iffy aspect to it. I just don't think the banana is part of it.
I feel like it's an additional portion, like, layered on that maybe seems a little unfortunate. I wouldn't have done it, is what I am saying. So anyway, they're being followed by the Ogrons. They're like, what do we do? They're like, should we shoot a rocket at them? And the master doesn't want to because it's not personal enough.
It's business.
He doesn't want his boyfriend actually dead.
But the doctor calls in, and the master is like, let us board. Which I don't know why the doctor doesn't recognize his voice at all. He's not even, like, pretending to be the brig at this point.
No, he does not even try to put on a voice. He pretty much just sounds like the master.
They get close enough that they can release a missile. He said he wasn't going to release a rocket, but he releases missiles anyway. It attacks the ship. There's a lot of wobbly ship acting, which is great.
It's good. Good's a strong word. It's the most coordinated it's ever been.
Yeah, everybody ducks and weaves in the same direction.
I wonder if they got a rig, too.
I doubt it.
Well, they've just gotten better at it, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's not a rig. They're just leaning back and forth.
I meant for the camera. Because the movement, I don't know if did it like in post or if they like...
They might just have stuck the camera on a rod and swung it back and forth.
Yeah. For the first time, I feel like the camera movement synced up with the acting.
Yeah, but then there's one shot where an Ogron falls in the opposite direction of where the...
He falls the wrong way. So besides that one guy who fucked it up, and the scenes were like the... Like, there's a big group of people. Because normally, they've done it before where they, like, tilt the camera or whatever, and everyone will kind of lean, and, like, some people are half committed to it. There's a couple of scenes where it's happening where I'm like, everyone in the scene's really committed. Yeah, for the first time, it seems like the acting and the camera movement are actually synced, except for that one Ogron.
I think he falls on a lever and the Ogron gets out of the cell.
Possible. Oh, yeah.
Attacks the doctor. But the doctor bests him and the draconian tie up the Ogron. While this is happening, the other Ogrons have boarded the ship, and they grab Joe. And then a shootout starts happening, and the doctor is just straight up shooting at the Ogrons.
Did this upset you?
It's the second time he's actually straight up murdered Ogrons before with a gun in Day of the Daleks. I just guess he just really hates Ogrons, which who can blame him? They're not great characters.
They're not characters. They're non-entities.
Well, Joe is taken away.
By?
The Ogrons.
Okay.
Taken onto their ship. Oh, and then they leave, but the door is open. The locking bay is open.
Yeah.
So, like, the doctor has to struggle his way to close the door before they get sucked into space.
They do a little lean and breathe, doctor and a draconian. Against the railing, you know, you gotta have them railing. It's a spaceship. Gotta have railings. Railings are a very important part of spaceships. You ever see Space Mutiny? Full of railings.
So there's another Earth ship coming, and the doctor talks to them and says, like, we've been attacked by the Ogrons and stuff, and they're like, we don't care, you're under arrest.
See, the ship is it's a big ship. It looks like it's made of some sort of a caulking gun, or no, like a
I think that's what Chris Terry said.
Or something like that, or like a tube that's contained something that you're supposed to push out through a thing. Like it had like spackle or something in it.
They get taken back to Earth, where they're gonna meet up with the president again and the general, and the president's like, I need proof of all this stuff you're saying. The doctor's like, I'd need to investigate to get proof, and she's like, okay, cool, you have the proof, I'll let you go investigate. But the general is like, no, I won't have this. And then the draconian and the general argue a whole bunch, and then they finally like say what happened. There's just basically a big misunderstanding that led to this whole thing, which is
not the whole thing.
Well, I mean, there was an initial misunderstanding where, well, specifically with this general.
Yeah.
And this draconian. Where the draconian, they were supposed to meet up to discuss something. It was like their first time or whatever. The general attacked the draconians because they brought their battle cruiser. And they're like, oh shit, they've come to attack us. There was not supposed to be any weapons. And the draconian was like, yeah, we travel around in battle cruisers. That's like what we do. But the weapons thing was empty. There was no weapons. We were unarmed. But in a battle cruiser. The general is like, oh.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad.
I was kind of a dick. I'm sorry about that. Let's team up. Like, it got smoothed over far quicker than I thought it would.
It was kind of like, this is episode 5. Let's make up.
So they do. And he's like, not only do I apologize, I will help lead this investigation to find the proof that the Ogrons are doing all this and the master.
Because at this point, you have, like, both of the world leaders who are like, yeah, that's clearly what happened. But, like, the people of, like the Earth people and the draconian people are like, fuck those guys. Let's go to war. And, like, even if, like, the president came down and was like, cool, they'd be like, no, let's go to war. So it's right. Really the, like, people who are pressuring these, like, leaders into starting a war, and they're very reluctant about it, and at this point are even like, oh yeah, that's clearly a situation, but we need something to bring back to the people, or else like they will just start the war without us.
So the master has taken Joe to the Ogron's home planet, which is a quarry, because that's what you do. And we go to the master's little home on the Ogron planet,
his evil lair. That it's a work in progress, it looks like.
The doctor's TARDIS is there, and then he tries to hypnotize Joe, but Joe starts saying nursery rhymes. She's like, I will not be fooled again.
Yeah, she figured out how to not be hypnotized, because fuck that.
Yeah, she's filling her head with nonsense, is what she says, in order to block out input.
And so the master's like, well, you can block that, but you can't block this, and turns on the hypnotic sound that makes the master into a drashig. And that is the cliffhanger. Well, I mean, she sees him as a trap shape. That's not a great cliffhanger either. Because it's like, we know he's just the master. Like, what's...
We're not scared.
Yeah, it's just basically like he's doing a magic trick. It's like, is this your card? And she's like, no, it's not my card. I had the 10 of clubs.
He could just shoot her. That would be more terrifying. Like, this is just like, look at this pretty picture I put up. It's not a great cliffhanger. But we're now into episode 6, which I've called Planet of the Ogrons. He's a Drashig, then he turns into a sea devil for some reason, and then it just stops working.
She knows what it is, and she just has to convince herself to not be afraid, and then she can see the master.
Okay, first it's the Drashig, but it's the better puppet. It's the dog puppet. And then there's, sea devil. No, the sea devil is the third thing, I think. The second thing is something else. Looks like a chicken. I don't know. Chicken turtle?
That's a sea devil.
Which one's the sea devil and which one's whatever else?
The second one you sent is definitely a sea devil.
Yeah, so what's the one before it?
That's also a sea devil.
It looks like a slightly different sea devil, though.
It doesn't have the things. It
looks like a sea devil more than anything else.
Yeah, it's got the same eyes.
Was it supposed to be a transformation?
I think it might have been. I think, it might be a Drashig supposed to be turning into Sea Devil.
Maybe it was something left over that was like a rejected design for the Sea Devils.
Then we get a brief recap that the president needs proof. Which is just, we watch another news scene of like this really angry southern guy wanting the war.
That seems right.
Oh, yeah, the American accent. So, how do you rank it?
I mean, it's not good. It's very stereotypical.
How's it next to mine?
Yours is more fun.
Not more
accurate?
Do
you mean your American accent or your southern American accent?
I mean my American accent, whichever one.
Yeah, your American accent's fine. Your southern American accent is definitely a bit stylized, so, you know, a little over the top. But it needs to be. I feel like anytime someone does a southern accent, it is always sort of very over the top. You know what I mean?
To be fair.
Yeah.
I've met our neighbor.
That's true.
He's the most over the top southern accent I've ever encountered. And that shit's in the wild. Is it?
Sling Blade? Scruffy? The janitor?
He was talking to me once while he was drinking and I was just like, uh-huh. No idea what he's saying. None of his words actually physically left his mouth. They just kept piling up right here and accumulating.
You know what it's time for?
What is it time for?
Another cell!
Already?
Yeah, what is this? Six? Joe is shoved into quite possibly the worst cell yet. It's a cage on top of some dirt. She is put inside the cell.
She gets soup with the biggest spoon I've ever seen.
It is a very, very large spoon, which she proceeds to use to dig out from underneath the cell to get out.
Which is something she does very fast. She dug a whole Joe-sized tunnel in a very small amount of time.
Yeah, that was some fast digging. Although, she does have a degree in escapology.
And also, to be fair, the master totally set this up so she could get out. But still, she should at least be like, this is a little suspicious that there is this loose soil here.
Also, she's not even dirty.
She doesn't get dirty.
I'm supposed to believe she crawled through a dirt tunnel and she still looks perfect.
That's the power of Joe.
Unit has some very...
dirt resistant.
Advanced clothing technology.
And her face...
She had a handkerchief.
She stopped to put her makeup back on before any other scenes happened.
So the doctor and everybody's heading, they're flying to the planet of the Ogrons where they are attacked. And they have to fix the ship, which requires the doctor to once again go outside the ship and fix things while on a string. It's way more obvious in this one, I think, than the last one.
I thought it was supposed to be there.
Like a lead?
Yeah. I mean, the string that you see is like you're supposed to see it because he's supposed to be tethered to the ship.
Well, there's two strings. There's one that's almost invisible and there's one that's supposed to be visible.
Yeah. But I feel like the one that you were pointing out, like, well, I can see that. I was like, that's a prop.
Well, no, because one of them's taut and one of them's not. And the taut one, you can understand where it is, even though it's pretty much invisible, by how he's moving. Like, it's clear that he's hanging from a thing by the way his body moves in the air. It's not weightless, it's hanging from a point.
But he fixes the thing and gets back in. They get attacked in the middle of it, though, but they're going to be. Ship coming to attack him. So they're going to do maximum hyperdrive to get away from the ship and get to the planet. But Joe gets out of her dirt cage. Well, she follows this Ogron who bows to this weird painting.
Oh, the mural.
The mural.
It's so gross.
Yeah, it looks like weirdly mutated
flesh.
Like, yeah, flesh chunks. This is like the precursor to the adipose.
No, the adipose are cute. This is gross. Because there's definitely parts where you can see, like, it looks like there's just blood. There's just blood and flesh.
It looks like a weird tumorous, I'm sorry to say it, but penis.
So I was going to say ball sack.
Well, it's all bunched up.
It's gross.
It is. It's very fleshy and gross. And
this
weird.
Happens, like, so briefly that you're like, what the fuck was that?
We haven't seen it yet, either. This is just the painting.
It's just the painting. The painting is there for so brief, and then they don't come back to it for so long. It's like it's established, and then, like, years later, they bring it up again, it feels like.
I suspect in, like, the first draft, that thing came out of nowhere. It's like, what the fuck is that thing? Like, we need to establish that. Fuck, put a mural up.
Well, and actually, yeah. It was supposed to be a bigger deal, and then...
Yeah, the director didn't like it, so he cut it.
The director took one look at it and was like, gross!
Well, when we get to the scene, I'll mention what was supposed to happen, but it didn't happen.
So, like, this thing is kind of set up, and it's sort of mentioned again, but really, like, it's a setup for a thing that never happens. So yeah. It's just this weird tumor creature.
It's a terrifying creature that eats Ogrons, basically. And yeah. Ogrons do not like it.
I don't like it.
But Joe sneaks around, finds the coordinates that the master has left laying around, finds a radio, calls out, and says where she is, and help. And then the master catches her, says he purposefully left out those coordinates so that they can trap the doctor. And that's a short-range communicator. The doctor's the only one who's going to be able to hear it. Nobody else is going to come to help. It was a trap. And then he puts his little homing signal that he set off earlier. He sets it down so that the doctor will think that's also been set up for him. And, I mean, it works. The doctor hones in on it.
Okay.
But they do think it's suspicious, but they land anyway. Because, like, what the fuck else are you going to do?
Oh, here's the other thing. They put Joe back in the cell. Like, yeah, I made that super easy so you would get out. But then they put her back in the same cell.
Yeah, but they put an Ogron on guard.
I mean, that's
they
still
specifically say that.
Dirt, though.
Yeah, but they specifically say, now keep an eye on her this time. They covered their bases there. The doctor and everybody lands on the planet. There's, like, some, like, you know, the ship's overheating and bullshit, but, you know, it's just padding. They land. They're trying to go around and find it. They are followed by Ogrons. There's an Ogron shootout. And then we see the fleshy thing for real. It shows up, and, like, the Ogrons scatter because they're afraid of it. And the doctor's like, yeah, they're natural predator or some shit because I know things. Then the Ogron comes into the master. The master gets mad at the Ogrons for being panicky. But they're like, this is a fucking giant fucking flesh
tumor monster.
But then another ship lands. We don't know what it is. But the doctor gets a premonition. It's the Daleks. He knows it's going to be the Daleks.
Well, I mean, we've seen the shirt.
Yeah, but I didn't pick up on that.
Well, I did. It says, I'm with Dalek, and there's an arrow pointing to the side.
The master walks over this crest. He goes out to confront the doctor since the Ogron's fucked up. And he says, I've shown up with some old friends, and boom, Daleks.
There are Daleks! I was legit shocked when that happened.
I was too. I did not see it coming.
They had been out of it long enough, too, that I was like, Daleks. Because that's the problem with the Daleks. Is that, like, they'll go away for a little bit, and then someone will be like, oh, shit, do you remember how much everyone loves the Daleks? We should use them again. And then they use them a lot, and then everyone's like, Daleks aren't even scary, they just look like salt and pepper shakers, like, you can just push them around. And then they go away for a really long time, and then when they show back up, you're like, oh, shit, it's a Dalek. Like, you have to not overuse them in order for them to be effective. It has just now been long enough from the last time they were overused that I was like, oh no.
The last time there were Daleks was the last time there were Ogrons, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a Ogron briefly in Carnival of Monsters.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
The doctor gets put in Joe's cell, and so does the general and the draconian guy. Joe has stolen the master's fear doohickey. She gives it to the doctor and he adjusts it. So I guess it'll work on the Ogrons and not humans and other people. Because the Ogrons do seem to be immune to it. We also get a brief scene of the master talking to the Daleks and just being like, listen, I'm starting this war for you guys. It's going to be great. All I ask for is after the war is over, I get Earth. That's fair. Why does he want the Earth so bad?
I'll tell you why he wants the Earth so bad.
Pizza.
Because the Doctor loves it and not him.
Okay, that's a good point.
He's so obsessed with the Earth and doesn't return his calls anymore. He's like breaking somebody's favorite toy because they're not playing with him. He doesn't give a damn about the Earth. He wants the Doctor's attention.
That is exactly what it is. You're completely right. I cannot argue with that, and I won't, and I don't want to, because you're right.
So the Doctor turns on the fear box, which turns the Doctor into a Dalek. He turns into a Dalek, and he's like, let us out. And the other one's like, oh, shit, sorry, and lets them go.
John Pertwee's Dalek voice, just wanted to mention it.
Is it good or bad? I don't remember.
You can tell it's him, obviously. It's nice. It's charming.
It's a fun thing that happens.
And then we have the Master do the same thing, though. But he's just mocking the Daleks. He hangs up and like, fucking stupid trash can. Think they can rule the universe.
What does he say? He's like, you will obey. Because the Daleks say that all the time, too, actually.
Exterminate is what they say.
They say, you will obey.
Yeah.
And then they pass by the mural.
Well, first Elgron comes and tells the Master, hey, the Daleks wanted let out. And he's like, what? But yeah, then they see the painting. But then the General and the Draconian are like, we're going to leave and go tell people what's happening. Bring them proof and stuff. So they sort of part ways. The Doctor and Joe go to the TARDIS, but the Master's there. But then the sound device goes off and causes chaos. Which, that was where the tumor thing was supposed to show up and scare off the Ogrons and everybody. But the director was like, nah, I don't want to drag that thing in here. It's awful. I don't like it. It's a terrible design. But yeah, during the chaos, the Doctor is shot by the Master. Possibly accidentally. Shot. I don't know. It seemed like he didn't mean to do it.
Does he get shot in the head?
Yeah, like a glancing blow to the temple.
There's blood.
Yeah, there is a little bit of blood. But he's okay. It just barely got him, sort
but
of.
But, like, it shocked me.
But, like, what are the odds of that? Of, like, getting shot in the head at exactly the angle that it doesn't make major damage?
On TV, really good.
Yeah, Joe drags the Doctor into the TARDIS.
The Doctor's not doing very good either. He's okay, but
he is not a well man. He
turns on the TARDIS. It's like, I've got to send a message to the Time Lords. And he, like, starts doing a thing. And that's the cliffhanger. There's a cliffhanger for the serial.
Which was also a joke you were making.
It was.
You're like, this is going to be the one with the real cliffhanger. And it was. Nothing's resolved here. I mean, not like as far as getting proof back to stop the war.
I mean, that's resolved. I guess the Master's probably kind of resolved. I'm pretty sure the next serial is sort of self-contained.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what I read, was that, like, they had a little bit of extra time. So they just wrote, like, a tease for the next episode. And I was like, they did? Because it all seemed like one big thing. Like, it was my understanding that it wasn't just the Master who was planning things all along, it was the Daleks. Did they get the proof back? I didn't see it happen.
They left to go take it, though. The General and the Draconian get away.
Did the Tumor Beast, the actual Tumor Beast, not the mural, did the Tumor Beast get, like, a total of 5 seconds of screen time on top of a mountain?
Yeah. It was just for that scene. It was supposed to be in the cave as well, in the Master's little cave. Then that whole confusing bit where the Doctor got shot.
As it stands, the whole thing seems very pointless. Like, more time is devoted to setting it up than ought to be. Which is what happens when you write something and then later change it and then leave those bits behind. Because time.
They could have just left that bit out.
But that's it. That's the end of Frontier in Space.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll come back for final thoughts. Stick around.
My name is Brian Foster.
Everything you know is wrong. Got that?
Now, the reason that I'm calling is because I have begun to suspect you don't have any ladybugs in your freezer.
Hey cuz, Roy here. So about your car.
The darkness was never empty.
There's this presence in my head. I'm pretty sure that the book was confiscated by cats.
You're damn right we find a lot of bodies when Foster is around.
And some people call me the Night Blogger.
And we're back.
We're back?
You know what that means, right?
My nap time's over?
Yeah, your nap. Wake up, because it's time for...
Final Thoughts! I really, really like this serial, and it's got some glaring flaws. But those glaring flaws are not a big deal, because I love this serial. First of all, the reason why I picked the serial is because it's got In Space in the title. If it's got In Space in the title, I'm in.
Well, Colony in Space? Big letdown.
So, In Space, I'm in. That doesn't mean necessarily I'm going to like it, but in this case, I did. As a setting, I find space to be... Conceptually, I'm like... Yes, and then I might get super disappointed a lot of the time, because it's like, oh, space, oh, right, it's boring. But, like, conceptually, just as an idea, space, like, I'm in. So I'm into stuff that, like, takes place on various spaceships and space stations and planets and stuff. And we had, you know, we had spaceships and we had planets. We didn't have space stations, but we did have the moon, exactly. We did have a station on the moon, so that sort of counts. So setting-wise, I'm in. It's got a lot of... people getting locked in cells over and over again, which is ridiculous and generally a waste of time. But because they had great bits in those cells, like whenever people got put in a cell, they took the time to actually write like a little bit, something funny to do in the cell. And that made it work somehow. And the sets were great. The costumes were great. The makeup was some of the best prosthetics we've seen so far, if not the best so far. I thought the design of those draconians was it worked. The design of the Ogrons, you know, debatable, but they're Ogrons. You know, what are you gonna do?
They do look a little bit better than their first appearance.
Yeah, the it seemed like the production value seemed to be, you know, higher than it's been. You know, the way that you'd expect, you know, the three doctors to be of higher production value. This was, and that wasn't. I'm hoping this is the beginning of like a string of episodes with decent production value, but I'm not counting on it because, you know, they might have blown a lot of budget on this serial. Yeah, I mean, I really like this serial. It's got a lot of good stuff. It's got some structural issues. It's got some misplaced cliffhangers. It's got some jail cells being a bit overused, and it's got villains who are incredibly, or well, humans who are incredibly stupid. And just won't listen to reason, which, you know, generally I'm like, that puts me off anything. But this works. As a whole, I enjoyed this serial greatly. It was a lot of fun. And it holds up, I think, even though it's got all these glaring flaws and structural problems and conceptual issues and bad scene ideas and everything that shouldn't work. I like this serial. That's my final thoughts, probably.
My final thoughts are very similar to Vince's final thoughts. I will always love when a show, any show, will take a moment to, like, slow down and, like, hey, you know that plot that's happening? Hang on a minute. Let's just have a little character moment. Let's just have two characters, like, having a chat and feeling like they're just sort of hanging out. And there was a lot of that, because we kept going to prisons. We kept going to different cells.
Final count was what, six?
Yes, yeah, six. Six different cells in total.
And one of those cells they kept going back to over and over and over again.
I really feel like we have been in like a really good string of serials that have just been good. I would say from the Time Monster? Maybe more than that? And if not good, enjoyable. Definitely this one we've had something like a marked improvement in production quality. And it's been fun. Because sometimes you'll get one where you're like, this has all of the pieces of a Doctor Who story, and it's written well enough, but I'm bored.
I think we've been really good since we've gotten a handle on Jo.
It's been nice. Now that she has more of a personality. I mean, she started with the personality, but, like, you know, sometimes a different writer gets her and is just like, I don't know, she brings everyone tea, and that's all she really does this episode. When she's being written like a person, her and the Doctor have really good chemistry, and they have like a really good back and forth, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch them interact.
She does get infantilized a bit every once in a while, which is a bit frustrating when she's given nuance and when she's given bits. That's good.
Yeah, when she's allowed to be sarcastic. Definitely can't say enough about sets. Were awesome. Spaceships looked like... they felt like spaceships when you were watching them. Models were even pretty good. I mean, obviously there are models, but there's limitations to what you can do.
There was maybe one or two shots where there was a model spaceship and the camera's like locked to it and the background's moving. That was a bit obvious when that happened. You want the moving thing to be moving at least a little bit.
But they looked neat. They looked like spaceships we hadn't seen before. It wasn't just like, here's a rocket and a flying saucer kind of thing. There was some design and some thought that went into it. Costumes always look good. Even in serials that are only okay, I feel like I'm always talking about the costumes. I feel like the costuming department just knows what's up. And then they were particularly good in this serial. So yeah, it was a fun one that looked really nice. Oh wait, one more final thought. It was a particularly good episode, I felt like, for the Master. And it's a bummer that it's his last one.
Yeah.
I feel like his character has, like, not that it hasn't been fun from the beginning, but, like, his particular character trope is one that really works when it's personal. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's been around long enough that, like, him and Joe have a history. And, like, we always knew, like, him and the Doctor had a history, but, like, now we have all that history. Like, mm-hmm. we know all the things they've been through, so, like, when him and Joe are, like, confronting each other and there's, like, this sort of...
Where she's like, I won't be...
Where she's like, fuck you, and the Master's just kind of playing around. Like, he thinks it's hilarious, and she's just, like, totally done with him. The longer that... The more history there is, like, the more fun that dynamic gets. It's a bummer. We won't see him. I mean, I know we'll get the Master, and I feel like for a while, the Master has, like, a very... He regenerates, but he always has kind of the same aesthetic. Not like the Doctor, where he's like, I'm just gonna wear this couch for a while, or whatever.
A couch?
Yeah, or like, you know, I'm gonna wear this coat that was made from 20 different couches. Mm. The Master's always like, I'm gonna have a goatee, I'm gonna wear all black. Until one day he's like, nah, I'm gonna wear 6 shades and slick back my hair, or be a woman. I don't know. It's whatever.
Didn't Eric Roberts come with the shades and the slick back hair, though? Wasn't that part of the package when he stole that body?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
My final thoughts. I don't feel like I liked it as much as you guys liked it, but I liked it. I feel like it's a little too long. There's people being shoved in and out of sales. I do like all the character moments and stuff. I feel like Joe, the Doctor, the Master are all great. The costumes, the set design, all great. But the plot... I am already forgetting.
The plot is nothing.
That's fair enough.
I ignored the plot. The plot is not the strong suit of this serial. It's everything else that works.
Yeah, there's like a lot of space politics going on, which I find kind of boring. Like, Curse of Peladon did space politics, but it was interesting.
Mm.
This does space politics, and it's just like, I don't care. But it looked great, and there was great character moments, but it's definitely not as good as Carnival of Monsters or Curse of Peladon. I even prefer Three Doctors.
Okay.
I think the Three Doctors were more fun than this.
Mm.
But this looked good. It did, like I said, it's not like a serial I'd be like, skip it or anything. It's not like Colony in Space bad or anything. I don't even think it's bad. I think it's good. It's just, it's not as good as some ones we've had recently.
That's fair. It's solid.
Yeah, it's solid. I am really bummed that it's the last Master serial, too. Really good, cool thing was that we had a cliffhanger at the end of the serial, which doesn't happen that often.
No, it legitimately startled me.
Kudos to that. I think mm-hmm. that's really cool.
Yeah, that's happened a few times, but not often.
Very rarely. I don't think it's happened since we started 3.
I mean, like, there was definitely an arc with him repairing his TARDIS and all that.
Yeah, there's arcs, but there wasn't, like, I don't think there was, like, any direct, like, oh, shit, we gotta watch the next serial, what happens from here, sort mm-hmm. of thing, like this one has. But yeah, I feel like this is the first one that's, like, directly leading into the next serial.
Like, there was definitely that one episode where the Time Lords gave him the piece back.
I feel like we had that in, like, the first and the second Doctor. A lot of the serials would end and we'd have the cliffhanger, like, the end of it. Pick up the beginning of the next one.
And it wasn't always that much. It would just be like the very end of like, what's out the window? Snow?
Yeah.
Guess we're going to be a snow episode next time. This definitely seems more than that.
It feels less like a connecting the previous serial to the next serial and more like this is going to be kind of a continuation of this serial. So I'm excited about it. I like that it's got me excited about the next serial.
Yeah.
Overall, I liked the episode. It didn't blow me away. But I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Sounds good.
I think it's a lot of design and moments outweighing bad plot for me.
It could have happened a bit faster.
Fair enough. Yeah,
I liked it.
Fair enough.
Also, we went to the a moon prison for like an entire episode, and that was like the least exciting part of the entire thing.
Also, it just happens. You're like, here are all these secondary characters that live here on the moon prison. Anyway, say goodbye to all these secondary characters that live here on the moon prison. Like,
and will never show up again or be mentioned. We don't know what happened to Patel or the professor or anything.
Nope.
So, we don't care about them anymore. They were in episode 3.
Anyway, you want to do plugs?
Yeah. Vince, anything you want to plug?
Occasional music tends to pop up on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. I'm Vincent DL on both of those. Very rarely do I post anything to YouTube these days, but it might happen. Swinglish on there. Twitter, Vincent DL. I occasionally post what I've created, or I occasionally make a comment. Sometimes it's a joke, sometimes it's a serious point about the state of the world, and sometimes it's just a concise formulation of a thought that I have. Other than that, I don't know that I have anything specific to plug at this point. I mean, there's a project that we've been trying to work on for a very long time that I've been really wanting to focus more on, and it's moving forward right now, so we might have something coming on that. I don't know if it's ready to be talked about yet, but it's something that we're working on.
I would hold off on that, but there's something coming.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's
definitely a thing. It might even be a thing in space.
That is possible. So look out for that.
Look out for a thing in space.
Yeah, that's a thing to look out for in space. I might do live streams of stuff at some point if I can figure out how to do it right.
Cool. If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It would really help us out. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you will find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like uncut video of the podcast records, day early episodes, and live streams of us watching the episodes. Vince joins us in on those occasionally, generally, sometimes.
If I'm awake.
So you can chat with us while we watch the episodes.
With the live streams, we've started to do a thing, and we plan to do it more, where we will post on our Patreon, on like our $1 thing, something that you can get a link to, where we will have so many links to give away to patrons at any level, which I think is something we're going to do through that, the $1 to get access to the Patreon stream. And we'll do like a contest every once and so often of like whoever likes that post.
We'll get entered into a contest to like get access to a live stream.
Yeah. So there'll be so many spots available to patrons at lower levels.
Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. Tune in next time when we talk about Planet of the Daleks.
Are you going to Skaro?
I guess so.
Are you recording live from Skaro?
Yes.
We're going straight there. We're going to set up the mic. Maybe we might have a booth where we sell t-shirts.
Cool. You going to have any Daleks on?
We'll talk.
We'll see. I think if you go, it's like, you know, no.
Probably safest.
You don't want to put a Dalek.
You don't want to give a Dalek a platform.
Yeah, that didn't work well last time you had a Dalek on.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
I love you.
And don't burn down the kitchen.
Do not fail at Daleks, indeed, you stupid tin boxes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.